Some of you I've met, some of you this is the first time that our paths have crossed. It's an honor to be here. I'm thankful for the church, your pastor, and the privilege to be here. My name is Craig Culbreth. I'm with the Florida Baptist Convention. And I brought my girlfriend this morning, also known as my wife. And it's an honor to be here. It really is. One of the things that I have the last couple days is I've got to make some choices. And one of them was last night. I got to choose when I went to a restaurant right over here. Sparky's. Now, I didn't steal this. I asked permission, okay? So before anybody turns me in, the owner said I'm going to bring it back. Yeah, I'm going to bring it back. It's shameless plug here at Sparky's. I ate there last night. It was very good. But the cool thing is I got to pick what I wanted. I got to make a choice. It was, I wasn't buying the restaurant. I was just having a meal, but I still got to pick. And choices are something we make and do all day long. We don't realize the choices we get to make. What distinguishes us from the animal kingdom is that animals operate on instinct, okay? Don't matter if it's an alligator, if it's a fish, or whatever, they don't think about themselves like we think about ourselves. That's what distinguishes us. And you study how the animals came about and how people came about and what distinguishes us, not just that, but that's a huge thing, is that we operate based on choice. We don't operate based on instinct. We don't have this instinct to want to migrate. We don't have this instinct to want to find, warm place a certain time of the day. We make choices. And this morning I want to talk to you about choices you get to make. Now, you may think that there's some choices you didn't get to make. There's some choices I didn't get to make. I didn't get to choose my parents. I didn't get to choose where I was born. As I shared Friday night, my dad was in the Air Force, and so I was born in a military base. I spent all of 7 months there, and until a couple of years ago, I'd never even been back there. In fact, I usually don't, people ask where I'm from, that's a Florida question, right? I had a friend of mine that moved from West Palm, pastor, moved up to outside of Macon, Georgia, and about a month later, I called him. I said, "How's it going?" He said, "Well, it's going good." He said, "But you know how in Florida, maybe if, it's not the first question, it's the second question when you meet somebody new, like, where are you from?" He said, "You don't ask that up here." In fact, they're so confused is when I say, "Where are you from?" They'll say, "The post office, the grocery store." They think I'm asking where they just came from, not where are they from, because they're all from here. And so I was actually born in Maine, which if there's any people from Maine, you know that if you're born in Florida, you're a Floridian. If you're born in Maine, you're a maniac. All right, so you can tell them there was a maniac preaching on Sunday morning, all right? But anyway, I didn't get to choose a lot of those things, but I did get to make choices. I want to invite your attention this morning to the book of Joshua, where Joshua makes a very famous statement that some people even put this as a little door thing on their house. But in Joshua chapter 24, in verse 15, and they're about to cross into the promised land, and he gives them a choice. He gives them a choice at the end. They're already in the promised land, but he gives them a choice on as he's about to go off the scene, and he said, "Now you have a choice." And he says in verse 15, "If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will serve." Now think about that. Choose for yourself. The first thing is it's a personal choice. The choices I'm talking about today are personal choices. Choices that you can still make. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how rich or how poor you are. The choices I'm going to talk about today, everybody gets to make. And you make them personally. Secondly, he says today. There's a point in time. This point in time today that God has brought you here at this point of time. It's no accident that you and I are here at the same time. And so we're here. Now, I'm not a fatalist when it comes to looking ahead to things that are going to happen. I'm not like the guy who fell down a flight of stairs and got up and said, I'm glad that's over with. All right? So I'm not a fatalist. I believe you have a choice. I believe God put that from the very beginning when he gave Adam and Eve choices to make. He said, now, there's things I want you to do and things I don't want you to do. And they made choices, some good, some not so good. But this point in time is today. And lastly, it will affect your future. It's a plan for the future when he says, whom you will serve. Because, see, when we make choices, there are consequences. There are things, if I ordered the Swamp Burger last night, at some point it was coming out. And I got to eat it. I couldn't say when it was in front of me, said, nah, I don't want that. It was really good. I wouldn't have said that. But the point is that today, these choices I'm talking about, is it will affect tomorrow, even though you're making the choice today. So let me just give you, if I can, a few of these choices. I believe that we have the choice to decide what we believe about God. We have a choice. Now, this is a crazy world we're in. Pastor already mentioned about what happened in Paris. I'm telling you, Paris is a lost place. I've been there. And I've been there, spent time with some of our missionaries that live there. And I'm telling you, Paris is a lost city. It's a lost world. I don't know if you have any idea how many people are in the world. There's just about 8 billion. I don't know what a billion looks like. I've never seen a billion of anything. But there's 8 of them, whatever it looks like. And they tell us that about 7.2, depending on who you ask, of those 8 billion don't know Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of people out there that still need to make a decision about God. And God has given us a chance. See, the moment you accepted Christ, the moment you made a decision for Christ, you didn't go to heaven. Why? Because there's still other people that need to be told. And those of you, including myself, that already know this, you know why we know it? Because someone told us. Amen. Because somewhere along the line, those disciples from the very beginning made a choice. They made a choice. They were going to tell what had happened to them. And that's simply all that is. But let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, if we could, at the end of Moses' life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, in verse 19, he stands before the people much like Joshua did. And he says in verse 19 of Deuteronomy, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live. So today, you get to choose what you believe about this book. You get to choose. It's your choice. It's not your dad's choice, your grandfather's choice, your grandmother's choice. It's your choice. And you get to decide. You get to decide what you believe about salvation. You get to decide what you bring about the belief about this life that Jesus said, I come that they may have it life, may have it abundantly. As opposed in John 10:10 when he says that about Satan who's come to steal your life. I've come to bring life, but you get to choose. Even as we sang that song, Who Am I? Not because of what I've done, but because of what you've done. We get to choose that. It's not who we are. It's not our last name. It's not our address. It's not our telephone number. It's based on a personal choice today, and we get to decide. We get to decide life or death. We get to decide what we do with God after that and how we live our life based on how we really believe if God exists. Now, you know, Gallup is a pretty smart guy, and I've been to where they take all those surveys. It's kind of a strange place. You're kind of afraid to talk to anybody there. You don't know if it's going to be in a survey or not. You know, I went. It's in Nebraska, and I went there, and I didn't want to ask where the bathroom was. I don't know if that was going to be a part of a survey. But interesting, but they'll tell you that 90-something percent of the people in America say there's a God. But yet, there's such a huge percent that live their life as if there is no God. If you pin them down, they'll say, yeah, there's a God. But then when they walk out the door, they live their life as if there is no God. So it's not just that decision for salvation. And if you've never made that, my challenge to you today is don't leave here without it. Amen. Don't leave here without it. It's the greatest thing. It's the greatest choice you'll ever make. It's the smartest choice you'll ever make. Today, you get to choose what you believe about God. You get to choose what you believe about what this book says. You get to choose. It's your choice. What you're going to do with it is your choice. God allows you to do it. Now, it breaks his heart if you don't choose him. But you get to choose. You get to choose. Now, next choice we get to choose is Matthew 6:33. When he says this in verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, in that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, there's a choice. You get to seek or not. You get to go after the things you like. So you get to, you get to choose what you appreciate. You get to choose what you like. Now, I know that in Florida we have University of Florida fans, FSU fans, but I'm neither one of those, okay? All right, now, it's a long story. I ended up there, but the good thing that came out of that, okay, is that I got saved there. I went there to play football, and I got saved there, so it was, if nothing else, it's certainly not a school of the prophets, but... the point is, my family will tell you that this is something that I like. This is something that I appreciate, okay? Especially this year. It's a good year to be a Tiger. Not always a good year, but this is a good year to be one. But the point is, you get to choose what you appreciate. You get to choose what you like. And there's things in your house that if I went to your house, I would know those are the things you like. And God allows us to do that. It's an amazing thing. We're not robots. We're not all the same. And by the way, that's why a restaurant has a menu. Because not everybody is the same. Not everybody's going to get to do it. As the state director of missions, a lot of times I get to go on mission trips and do things. And one of the places I go quite a bit is the country of Cuba. Now, contrary to what you see on the news, it's not as good down there as the news wants you to tell it is. But it's very difficult on the Cuban people. And I can remember the first time I ever went to a restaurant in Cuba, and I hadn't been there long, and I was with four or five people, and they brought us some little chips or something to put on the table, and then they came and brought us some water, and we'd been there about 35 minutes. And in other cultures, you know, I understand this, that, you know, a meal is an experience, so I knew I was going to be there a while, all right? But we had been there 30 minutes, and I was getting a little hungry, and those chips weren't doing it. So I asked the guy, who was my translator, I said, hey, we're going to get to order? And he kind of smiled, and he said, see those people over there at that table? I said, yeah. He said, you see what they're eating? I go, yeah. He goes, you see those people over there at that table? I go, yeah. He said, you see what they're eating? I said, yeah. He said, that's what we're eating. I said, well, where's the menu? He laughed. He said, there's no menu here. It's whatever they can get. And obviously, that's what they can get, so that's what we're going to get. And we didn't get to make a choice. We got what they had that day. My wife will tell you, we went into one time that actually produced a menu. But everything we asked for on the menu, we don't have that. We don't have that. And I finally said, is there anything you do have? Yeah. But they insisted they wanted us to have a menu. They wanted us to feel like we had a choice. And you know, that's the great thing. You know, we ought to smile because God gives us a chance to choose the things that we value, and we're all wired differently, and that's good. Wouldn't it be, it would not be a good place if everybody was just like you, or everybody was just like me. I mean, what would we talk about? I mean, if we were exactly the same. Hey, by the way, you ever wondered who Adam and Eve talked about? I have. I mean, there's no one else. Who can they complain about? A couple of animals, maybe, but they didn't have any people, so they couldn't complain. You know, they didn't have to worry about keeping secrets. I mean, there's some cool things in the early days of Adam and Eve, you know, when you're by yourself on the world. All right, now, let's go to the next one, the next choice. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. Again, this is a choice. We get to choose what we believe about God. We get to choose what we believe, what we like, what we appreciate. In 1 Peter chapter 4, if what we value and what we appreciate is fun, this is the hard side. The hard side of this. He says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, "Beloved, be not surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing." In other words, there is a choice on how you believe and what you believe about adversity. You know, to be on these is no fun. I guarantee you some people in here have been in these. Or you've been in a wheelchair. Or you've been to the hospital and you've had adversity. You've sat in that doctor's office when the test came back and said, and you heard that word cancer. You've done that. You've seen adversity not only medically but also just in your family. You've seen families blown apart. You've seen families that have happened and that used to exist that don't exist anymore. They aren't family trees, they're family vines at best. And you've seen this. You've seen innocent people and you wonder why. I'm not here to answer all your questions this morning. I don't have all the why. As I shared last night, there's chapters in the book of your life that you would like to have them gone. You wouldn't like that chapter. And if you were writing the story, you wouldn't have put that chapter in there. But I can tell you, you get to choose how you respond to that. Amen. You get to choose how you respond to that adversity. You get to choose. You decide. You decide that all those doctors that you're getting to see now are either an obstacle or an opportunity to show your faith. People that you never would have met unless you would have been exposed to that. And there's going to be some things that God's going to do in your world if you give Him a chance through your adversity. It's critical that you and I realize we have a choice. We don't have a choice to decide about everything that happens to us, but we can decide how we feel about it. So every morning when you get up, yeah, you're still going to maybe not feel good, or maybe you still have that problem, but now you get to decide, how am I going to respond to that? You see, when David faced Goliath, he didn't get a choice. Hey, have you got somebody smaller over there? Maybe somebody about my size? He didn't get to do that. But he did get to choose how he responded. So you and I this morning need to know that we get to choose what we believe about adversity. Now, this side of heaven, we're all going to have issues. I'm just telling you. Because we're human. Because our life is not perfect. I don't care how some people appear on TV or in magazines. Okay? They're not perfect. Their life is not so good. There was a guy that ran a hardware store in a small town, and the family came in one day, and they were new to town, and they were buying some things, and he said, "Well, you know, welcome to our community, and are you sorry that you had to leave?" They said, "Oh yeah, we really liked our town, we really liked the people in our town," and he said, "You know, you're going to like it here, you're going to like it here." Later that day, there was another family came into the hardware store, and they too had just moved to town, and he said, "So tell me about your town, where you came from." And they said, "Oh, we couldn't wait to get out of there. It was awful. People were mean. No one talked to us." And he said, "You know, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you're going to find it just like that here. People aren't going to talk to you." You see, a lot of it has to do with your attitude. It doesn't have to do with the reality of it. It has to do with your attitude on how you do it. And when it rains like crazy, you can decide, "I'm tired of this rain," or you can say, "Man, I appreciate the free car wash." You know? And we're in that time of year where we're excited in Florida because we're not running our air conditioner wide open. And people up north, you know, I mean, they're talking about shoveling, and we tell them, hey, we don't have to shovel, rain runs right off our driveway. And we don't doesn't really get cold here. We just get some days of free air conditioning. And we don't have to pay for it. You see, it's attitude. You know how I sometimes have brought people in from other countries, and when I bring them to a Baptist church, I tell them, now listen. Now, they don't speak the language very well, but I say, listen, now people are going to ask you, how are you? But they don't really mean it. It's just a Baptist thing. They don't really mean it. And all you got to do is say, fine. And so I teach them the English word fine. Just say fine. Whatever they ask you, fine. I'm fine. You know? And they said, why do they ask? I said, I don't know. They just do it. They just ask because that's what we always do. How are you this morning? You know, if people even ask you maybe at the grocery store or whatever. I love to say to them, when they ask me, how are you doing? I love to just say, absolutely wonderful. And they'll look at you and say, wow, what did you have for breakfast? I said, I didn't have anything, but I did get to make a choice today. I got to choose my attitude. In a small town in western part of Virginia called Rural Treat, Virginia, there was a young man that got real interested in a young lady, and this was a long time ago, and so he had to go meet with her on the front porch and all this. But the only problem was her dad was the town doctor, and he had high hopes for his daughter. And so one day he met with the young man and said, you know, I don't have such high hopes for you. I want my daughter married better than this, and I don't see you accomplishing much in life, so I don't want you to come around anymore. This guy was devastated. Devastated. He packed up his bags and went all the way out to Texas. Live with his cousin in Waco, Texas. And he got a job in a pharmacy. And in that pharmacy, they had a little lunch counter. And he worked there at the lunch counter. In the afternoon, it was really slow. And so they were playing around with some drinks and food and going to add to the menu, you know. And they came up with something. They had the pharmacist come over and take a drink of it. And they go, this is really good. Said, what are we going to call it? Says, you know, got to have some if we're going to put it on the menu. And this young man said this. Said, you know, there was a guy back in Virginia that didn't think I'd ever accomplish much. And I came here thinking, I can do this. I can show him, and I want to show him. So I tell you what, I wouldn't be here, and this wouldn't be going on if he hadn't done it. So I'm going to name it after him. And so, folks, they named it Dr. Pepper. And that's how we got Dr. Pepper. And so, but the point is, the young man made a decision how he treated adversity. And that's what you and I are going to get to do today. We're going to get to decide how we see about adversity. Now, the last one. And this isn't anything new to anybody, but we get to choose our attitude. Because you see, that's just about halfway, right? Yep. Half full, half empty. You get to choose. I get to choose. We get to choose our attitude. We get to decide, you know, even when things are just vanilla, we get to decide. Is that a good thing? And so Paul would say, think on these things in Philippians. And he gave him a list in chapter 4, verse 8, and he told him to think on those things. Because those are the things that make a difference in your life. Those are the things on how you treat others. And those are the people in your attitude. You get to do it. There were a couple of guys that heard out in Wyoming that they were having problems with wolves. And they were offering $300 a wolf if you could go out and shoot them. Because they were attacking the cattle and different things. And these guys didn't have much money, but they put their money together and bought some bullets and some camping supplies and went up in the mountains, and they were going to shoot wolves. They were up there for about 4 days. No wolves. Nothing. They went to bed. They were exhausted, laying by this little campfire. And one of the guys woke up, and they were surrounded by wolves. And they were growling, and he reached over and elbowed his buddy and said, hey, Larry, wake up. We're rich. It's all in how we look at it. Our attitude will decide all the way through life whether that glass is half empty or half full. Folks, go back to Joshua. Joshua said, you get to choose this day. You get to choose. Choose for yourself today whom you will serve. You get to choose what you think about God, what you get to appreciate, how you're going to face adversity, and your attitude. You're going to change it. You get to choose that today. That's as true today as it was the day Josh uttered it. Amen. You get to choose. So you decide today. Have you ever made that choice about God? Are you making a choice about how you're going to handle life as it comes your way? Back in the medieval times, there was... These guys would get together and decide they wanted that guy's land, so they'd go over there and try to attack him. And so they began to stop that kind of thing by building these castles. And that's why all over Europe there's all these castles. And we think, you know, that they could do that so they could have princesses and all that stuff. But that's not really where it started from. Sorry, kids. That's not where it started. But anyway, it started because they had to figure out a way to protect their stuff. So they had to have somewhere they could go inside. So they started building all these castles. And then they started putting moats around them, all sorts of stuff. Well, this one guy came and decided he wanted this guy's land, so the other guy pulled all his people inside, and they said, okay, sent a message in, said, we're out here, we're just going to starve you. We're going to stay out here until you give up. And we give you 24 hours to respond. And so the guy was on the inside, read the note. They got together, they went up on the wall of the castle, and they threw on a rope a string of freshly caught fish. You see, what those guys on the outside didn't know was that guy built his castle on top of a spring. It had water, it had fish. There was nothing those guys on the outside were going to do to starve those guys out. Those guys saw that fresh stringer of fish, and they turned around and left. You see, here's what I want to remind you this morning. You have on the inside all you need to get through whatever is going your way. You have it on the inside. If you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have everything you need to take you through the storms, as we heard in the song. We have it. And we're just like that guy on the inside of that castle. We tell Satan, we tell the world, hey, listen, you don't know what's on the inside of me. And what's on the inside of me, according to 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you that is in the world. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for each person here. And Lord, what they mean to you and what they mean to this community, what they mean to this church, I thank you for the pastor and his wife and how they have stayed by the stuff and stayed here and led this group. And we're at this point now in time As Joshua stood before the people, we stand before you this morning and say, choose this day who you will serve. And so, Lord, the choice is ours. You've given us that. I know what you desire. You desire us to choose you and to choose a good attitude and choose a good results of how we face adversity. And Lord, if there's one here today that has not made that choice, I pray today is the day they make that choice. They don't walk out of here without making that choice. In Jesus' name, amen. Now.